2 Corinthians chapter 4, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Pastor Kowak, I know you won't remember, but Amber will. We have Lord's Supper today, so please remind me. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's all stand, please. I'm going to say obvious things that may not be obvious to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 has no commands. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 is not telling you what to do. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, for all of you that understand the analogy, and the rest of you will figure this out, is pulling back the curtain for you Wizard of Oz fans, to show you Paul's inner life. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 has some of the greatest verses in all of the Scripture, and I'm just going to speak on one of them. But look at me, please look at me. There are no commands in the text. It's just factual stuff. So nobody's telling you what to do. I'm just going to make three statements, a fact. We'll see if you listen. It's about New Year's. I've entitled this, All Things Renewed. Verse 1. This is not the verse, but I have to read the first verse because this is Paul pulling back the curtain on this is how I live my life and this is how I do the ministry. He's telling you about himself. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, chapter 3, as we have received mercy, we faint not. And friend Charles Ryrie, in his footnote, which I have here, says this, not a physical fainting, but a loss or losing of courage. I'm going to say you, he is 100% wrong. It is both. Why? Because most people quit. Fact is, outside of being squirrely, the number one characteristic of most people is they quit. He says, I've received mercy. He even puts us in there. We have received mercy. We faint not. Verse 5, because I don't have time to read the chapter. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servant. Our servants for Jesus' sake. Verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. The greatest news in history, he hands it to clay pots. That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Have you noticed there are no commands? He's just stating reality. He says, you want to understand me? Let's pull back the curtain. Let's see what drives me. No commands in the text. Verse 14, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us up us also by or with Jesus, and shall present us with you. He went forward. He's pulling back and saying, my hope is built on the resurrection. Because if Christ was raised, I will be raised, and you will be raised with us also. Verse 15 is a very wordy passage. Every time Paul gives his personal testimony, these words wrap around each other. It says, for all things, or for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many rebound to the glory of God. A lot of words. Verse 16 is the text this morning. For which cause, and you've already read this, we faint not. Don't get consumed with modern translations trying to give you a cutesy way of saying it. We don't quit. We don't give up. We don't give in. we don't lose heart. All of those mean we don't quit. For the which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, or is in the process of deconstructing, yet the inward, that which is on the inside, is renewed day by day. We're going to spend the next 40 minutes or so talking about verse 16, all things renewed. Father, help me to share very simple ideas, no commands, because these aren't commands. This is Paul simply explaining how he survives the ministry, how he survives the lying and the deception and the opposition and the persecution and just the day-to-day life, the struggles, the problems. How do we make it through? Help me to be able to share three very simple ideas this day. In Jesus' name, amen. I didn't know him well. I don't really remember his name now. I studied martial arts at the same school, but I studied during the day. He taught at night. He was far more advanced than me. But I knew his expertise, and he was an expert. He was not the best in our school, the toughest in our school, the strongest, the biggest, or the fastest, but he was an expert in one piece of martial arts of the school I went to in St. Louis, of what's called katas, or forms. Boy, he was an expert. And once you got to a certain level, you had to study not with the guy that was the best martial artist, the guy that owned the place, but with him, because he was just brilliant. He could tell you and teach you the techniques. He could do the techniques. And once you got brown belt or above, you studied with him. As I would say, he was the go-to guy until he wasn't. And his wasn't happened in one day. One night, I went to school. I went on Monday, Wednesday, Friday in the mornings. It was a Friday morning, maybe. I learned when I got there, they called him Mr. Mr. So-and-so last night came to the school. He had all of his equipment with him. He walked in. He set his equipment down right along the edge of our dojo. He bowed, which in our school was like this. He bowed. He walked away and never came back. And it devastated our school. People were like, he quit. He fainted. He gave up. Paul is discussing why he doesn't walk away. Do you all understand? That's all. He's no telling us. He's just discussing it. So all I'm going to do is summarize what he's discussing. Look at verse 16 again. For which cause we faint not. He's just discussing why, and he's using the royal we probably, more or less. He's talking about himself, but others also. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, or is in the process of perishing, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Number one, the new becomes old. The new becomes old. The new becomes old. Look at me, please. The new becomes old. Look at me, please. The new becomes old. I don't care what the new is, the new becomes old. Paul is simply using an analogy. He says, if you look at a person like myself on the outside of being human, that is in the process of perishing or dying. I'll give more what that means. He's contrasting the outside exoskeleton, maybe you've heard of that. That's something on the outside. He's contrasting the exo with the esso, the inside. And he says everything on the outside is in the process of perishing. So let me just say some things before I get and explain the point. And by the way, I'm going to have fun with this, but boy, this is not funny. This is dead serious. All things renewed. The word faint not can mean things like this: to faint, or to become weary, or to give into evil, which is really what the Greek word means, or to quit, or to give up, or to lose heart. And Paul is basically giving you ideas that will prevent you and me, because it's what helped him, from giving up. The first idea is the new becomes old. That which is on the outside is right now in the process of wasting away. It's in the process right now of decaying, rotting, falling apart. The new becomes old. By the way, the new always becomes old. Now, one piece of this is obvious. Thursday, we went out to eat with some people I like. Pastor Melvin and his wife, Michelle. I like Rick a great deal most of the time. I didn't like everything he said Thursday. So we went out to eat. We had a nice meal. We goofed around, talked about everything, all kinds of stuff. And somewhere in the conversation, he said, "I saw a picture of our wedding recently. They've been married 21 years. He said, "I saw a picture of the wedding, and there was a guy that did the ceremony that used to have dark brown hair." And then that didn't bother me. Then he got to the mean part. He said, "And he used to have more hair." And he said, "I think he used to weigh less too." Now, I call him all kinds of names, but if I'm being mean, it's always Ricky. I said, "Thanks, Ricky. I love you too. Can I ask you a question? Are you getting older?" You say, "I'm only 18. "Kim, you are perfect. In the perfect. But look at your dad. Just think, one day you're going to be there. It all falls apart after a point. The new, by the way, that's the obvious point. Yes? Everybody understands that. I was reading a joke someplace, and the guy compared being a kid and being an adult. He said, when you're a kid, if you get injured, you get injured playing basketball because somebody hits you when you do a layup. Or you're playing softball or baseball and you go to catch a ball and somebody runs into you. Or you're playing basketball or football and somebody hits you and twists your knee. He says, that's what happens to 18-year-olds. He says, when you become adult, you slept wrong. Or he said, this was my favorite was the last one. But he said, and then he said, or you sat down too long. Have you ever seen some old men in this? I don't know any old men, but some old men have a hard time standing up straight. How about this? He said, you know you're an old man when you got injured by coughing. Can I? Some of you are still missing the point. Paul says, the outward man is perishing. Do you realize you're going to have to deal with this? The new becomes, it just does, everything. Now, obviously, we all get that. We all get that to some degree things are going to change. One guy said it this way. I like this too. He says, I've reached the age where sleeping with the wrong pillow feels like falling out of a 12-story window. But friend, the new becomes old. So I can get some of the young people's attention. Have you found a shiny nickel? It won't be shiny for long. You say, ha, 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 I got my first car. Woo! I can still remember my first car were ancient.
My first car was a 1960 Chevy with wings. I could take my Prius and put it in the trunk of that Chevy. Okay, but it had all kinds of problems. My first new car was a brand spanking new Volkswagen Rabbit. I got it in May of 1976. So I'm going to ask Cassie. Cassie, when I bought that brand new four-speed on the floor Volkswagen Rabbit that really had some spunk, was I in love? Now I'm going to ask you a second question. Where do you think that 1976 Rabbit is today? In the junkyard, of course. Why? Because the new? That's the nature of the world. Now, for all of the young people here, by the way, I'm always happy when you see and you get something new. I found out that two of our teachers, through various processes and gifts, of which I only one or two or three people know about this, as much as I do anyhow, a couple of our teachers got cars, and I'm very happy. You say, why? Because both of them are bad drivers. Hi, Sparky. Actually, we're thinking about buying her a tank, actually. That's just personal opinion. But can I say something, friend? That new car gets... This is the reason when you come to me and say, Eureka, I'm finally moving to the house that I always dreamed of. Have you ever asked yourself the obvious question, why did the people that were there before you leave the house that you always dreamed of? Because the new became old. Oh, I finally got the job. I got the job that I've always wanted. By the way, if you say that to me, I'm going to be happy. But you do realize you replaced somebody else. What is wrong with us? The new becomes old. Wednesday night, we'll talk about this big phrase, hedonistic adaptation. Psychologists have been studying this for 30 to 40 years since the advent of what's called positive psychology, because the reason most of us are depressed is we're always looking for the new. The new becomes old. I don't care where it is, what it is, how it becomes old, whatever it is. Man. Some of you are thinking, if I could just get a new spouse. Yes, you could get a younger man. But younger men become older men. You say, he has more hair. You're already looking? Okay. If we extend the concept, the new becomes old. The shine wears off. The new smell goes away. The fun runs out. The new becomes old. And then what do? You start looking for the new again. Now, we can do religion with this, and I'll come to that in a moment. You teach a Sunday school class. It's so exciting. Look me in the eyes. Nothing is exciting after 15 minutes. You say, I'm so happy. Wow! Oh, get over that goofball stuff. Life is about figuring out how to make the new stay new. Not about, I just got to keep recapturing new, looking for new, finding new, going to the next show. You know, I've had men in this church have 10 different jobs, and every one of them was going to make that male happy. Do you never listen to people? The problem is, folks, they're denying what Paul assumes. Can I say this? Paul is not commanding. Paul just assumes the external perishes. It decays. It doesn't get better. It gets worse. It grows worse. It falls apart. He assumes that, and yet people are trying to live a life denying that. The old becomes new. I don't care what it is that's new. He said, man, I like singing in the choir. You won't after 5 years. This Awana is so I don't know what's exciting. Guys, I got five guys over here, at least three of you, maybe four of you are going to be in the ministry. Get over exciting or not exciting. I'm excited for the work, for the study, for learning, growing, being in contact with God, learning the scripture. If you're waiting around for woo, you'll be swapping around your whole life looking for the new. Drop the new.
I got a question for you. If you had your druthers and you could suddenly magically transfer to wherever it is you know you're going to be happy, have you ever gone there and talked to the people there and see if they're happy? No, because the people there are looking for something. Say it. They're looking for something new. I told you the story of the woman in New York City that hated New York City. I understand. I'd hate New York City too, but for different reasons. She just couldn't wait to get out. She finds a husband. I think he was a husband or a boyfriend. She moves to some place, Billings, Montana, or one of the places in Montana. By the way, from my knowledge, an unbelievably beautiful place. This woman's thinking, I'm getting away from traffic, crime, dirt, filth, yuck. I'm going out to a beautiful place. She gets there. She's so excited because it's new. And she finds out everybody in that city wants to move.
Wow.
You say, Pastor, I can't wait to get a new job. That's funny to me. Can you hear this? A new job. It's still going to be a job. You see, friends, the new becomes old, and actually very old. That's all Paul is saying. Paul's not telling you. He's just telling you what he assumes. Though our outward man perish, is in this process of decaying, coming apart. That's just kind of the way it is. The new becomes old. I can't wait till Bill, there's nobody here named Bill, but I can't wait till Bill gets his new job. He's going to be happy then. Oh, I can't wait till I move back home or down south or up north or out east or out west. Okay, but if you talk to the people there, I'm going to say this and move on to point two. Can I ask you a question? Have I got your attention? Maybe not. Maybe you'll be one of those perpetually depressed people looking for happiness the rest of your life. Or maybe you can start living. Paul is not going to tell you what to do. Paul is just going to explain what he does, what's happened to him. I would say this. Somewhere north of 90% of people I've met are unhappy. And I do not understand why, especially when they name the name of Christ. Except the new becomes old, and they haven't accepted that. They haven't bought into that. I am going to enter soon, I can't believe it, because I'm only 44 years old. I'm going to enter into my 28th year at this church. The number one thing that was stated to me when I came here, I could name the names, but I won't, is you will not stay at this church once your children graduate from school. Why did they say that? Because they'll assume you're going to move something new, something new, something new. Here's the problem. If I move to something new, the new becomes old. The outward man is in the process of perishing. That which is on the outside, both of the human and the outward circumstances, all of that perishes, falls away, fades away, all of it. Nothing stays the same. Well, let's look back at the text, would you please? Because we're going to get to the second. By the way, again, there's no command here. Paul is simply telling you factual things. He's actually telling you what he assumes to be true. He says, for which cause we faint not. We don't give up. We don't give in. We don't give in to evil. We don't lose heart. We don't lose courage. We don't do that. Why? Because he just knows already the new will become old. I got to say this, sorry. We're going to come back to the verse. Look at me for just one second. Have you traveled? The first time I flew into Venezuela, and Venezuela has some of the greatest places. El Gran Savana is considered one of the most beautiful places on earth, which none of us have been there, and you can't go there now. But the weirdest thing is we went into Caracas, or as they would say, Caracas. And Caracas is like in a valley surrounding our mountains. And your first day there, this is all you do. But if you're a smart person,
you notice the people that live there, they're not looking at those mountains. They're complaining about the traffic. They're complaining about the government. Why? Because the new, I don't care where it's at. Every once in a while, I want to move. You say, where do you want to move? Well, I don't know. There's times I'd like to move to Scotland. You say, why? Are you Scottish? No, but I just like to move there until I see the winners. And then there's times I'd like to move. Have you ever seen those islands in Greece where they have those perfectly white houses? And then I realize all they eat is creepy things from the ocean. No, I don't want that. By the way, the people there want to come. Oh, they want to come to America. Listen, Jenny, is this a true statement? 1999, we're in Scotland on our first vacation to Scotland. We're in on the East Coast. What's the name? I don't remember the name of the town. Do you remember? We're in this town. We go into a fish and chips place to buy some food. Look at me. We are going to buy fish and chip, meaning fried fish, French fries with lots of, yes, vinegar on it. And we're going to walk out, are you listening, to the seashore and enjoy the sea. The guy owned it looked at us and says, what are you guys doing here? All of us want to come to America. What are you doing in Scotland? The new becomes old. Well, let's keep reading. Verse 16. For the which cause we faint not, but though the outward man perish, don't worry about what all it means. It means that which is on the outside of the human, his body and all the things that surround him, external stuff. Exo is the Greek word. That which is on the outside of the man or the person, it's perishing. It's in the process of decay. It is the new is going to become old. You ever say, I love that new car smell? You don't say that after 10 years. Well, he goes on to say, yet, and he's not, he says, yet, in my case, the inward man, not the stuff out here, but the stuff in here, the inward man is renewed or in the process of being renewed day by day. Number one, the new becomes, say it. Number two, the new must be renewed to stay new. If you're going to have a life that's interesting, fresh, exciting, if you're not going to be one of those people that you do something for a year and it's like, well, I'm tired of that. Or you get a new job and I want a different job because I don't like this job. See, some of you think Pastor is the meanest guy on earth. You would never have known me in a laboratory setting when I was the boss. Quit saying amen back there, Nancy. Friends, in a laboratory when I was the boss, I have told people hundreds of times, a lab is a lab is a lab is a lab. But everybody in this lab wants to work in that lab. And the ones there want to work there. In nursing, everything is this way. No, the new becomes old. Paul says, that's just factual. But on the other hand, in my case, in our case, he's talking about kind of generically speaking, the inward man is being renewed. So the new becomes old, except the new must be renewed to stay new. He's saying something's going on the inside. It's constantly being renewed from the inside. It's not there's just an outer and an inner. He's saying, what's the most important? Those things on the outside or those things on the inside? He's saying, obviously, on the inside is where the renewal process happens. And if the inside is renewed, it makes the outside new in the sense of you enjoy it, you're happy, you keep working, you keep moving ahead, you keep serving, etc. The new must be renewed. Oh, God, help me. If I have one more Christian come to me and say, we're moving to Timbuktu because we're going to be so happy there. You're going to be happy there until Timbuktu is old. And then you're going to look for a new place. Then you're going to say, I need to go to Mongolia because there's nice places there. I can get me a yurt. We go back to my least favorite person this week, Pastor Melvin. During our conversation, we had a good conversation. He knows me very well, probably too well. We were discussing ministry, Lake County Baptist. We were discussing the buildings here. And Michelle taught in 206 back in the day. 206 we nicknamed in those days the Baptist Room. Because she had 4 to 6 buckets catching water in that room. You don't. Some of you don't even know this. You know that old that building over there leaked. When I came here in 1996, it leaked. It was a Baptist, kind of a semi-Baptist room. It didn't pour. It wasn't pouring, and you weren't being immersed most of the time, but it was dripping on you. Sprinkly, yeah, it was that kind of, that's not baptism, but that kind of baptism. She was joking. She literally said this to me. She said, I used to have to teach around the buckets. So we were talking about the buildings, and Rick looked at me in his kind of dry way, and he looked at me and said, are you still rebuilding the buildings? Answer the question. And the day I leave here, will I still be rebuilding the buildings? You say, why? Because the nature of what? The new becomes, and the new must be renewed. You're just constantly renewing things, fixing things. We bought a house. House right here, we tore down. The next house we bought, Mr. Losey and some others fixed it up nice. Sparky lives there. She ruined the roof. We had to put a new roof on the place. I don't know how she... What did you do to that roof is what I want to know. You can't reach that. But by the way, you don't ever build a building. You build one and then you rebuild it. And then you rebuild it. And then you rebuild... Guys, you like this building? I hate every piece of it. Because everything around here, do you know the furnaces that keep you warm, we've replaced twice since I've been here. If you come here in the summer, we've replaced the air conditioning twice. Well, yeah, no, once. We put air conditioning in, then we had to replace it. And if I stay here long enough, you know what we'll have to do again? Replace it. Folks, the secret of life is not saying, oh, this is boring. I hate this job. I hate this house. I hate my spouse. The secret of life is renewing, being renewed. Otherwise, you're just like a little kid looking for something shiny, but you're 60 years old looking for something shiny. Oh, I'm going to find true happiness. I am 60, but it's out there. I'm going to find it someplace. Wow. I like the text renewed. It's an ongoing process. It is an ongoing, the Greek word is a present tense, which means an ongoing process of being renewed. It is also passive. Both verbs are passive, by the way, meaning you don't really change the process of decay or perishing. It just happens to you. And in one sense, you don't really control being renewed. You are renewed. So what our question is, how then do we get renewed? How do we find the inward man to be renewed? Well, that's our question. So, the new becomes old. The new must be renewed to stay new. You got to have it. Look at chapter 4, verse 1, would you please? 2 Corinthians 4, verse 1. I'm going to have you turn to one passage. By the way, 3 or 4 passages. Now I'm going to share ideas. How do you renew yourself? By the way, look at me. How do you renew yourself? If you sat here this morning and you leave this place and you don't learn, you can't renew yourself, but you can kind of, how would I say this? You put yourself in a place where God can renew you and give you the newness back and give you the shine back. Otherwise, you're always looking over people's shoulders at the next hill, the next purpose, the next job, the next this, the next that, and you're wasting your life. Well, we can't do it ourselves, but we can make it possible. And it's in what I'm going to call daily renewal, weekly renewal, seasonal renewal, yearly renewal, times of renewing. Paul tells us in chapter 4, verse 1, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have what? Received what? Mercy. We don't quit. Part of the renewing is obtaining daily mercy and grace. Daily, you obtain mercy and grace. By the way, I can't fix you,
And I can't even get you in line to be renewed. But I can tell you that on a daily basis, you need to get in the line, so to speak, to receive God's grace and mercy. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So on a daily basis, you're either doing this. Look at me. You're either doing this, looking out there for happiness, or having God renew you in here where life is interesting, positive, living, new, because he's renewing you. Everybody knows this text, Lamentations 3. We won't have to look there. Jeremiah says this, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new." They are new. I know who reads the Bible in this room. It's the same group that answers every question. They are new every morning. Friend, life is going to get stale. Nothing's going to be interesting to you. You're always going to be looking out there someplace for whatever it is. Or you can have the Spirit of God renew you, the inner man. And the inner man then impacts the outer man, is the whole idea. And Paul says, this is the reason I don't quit. This is the reason I don't faint, because I have obtained mercy. Well, there's other text and teaching. There's daily receiving God's mercy and grace. There's daily prayer. Give us this day. Give us this day. That's a daily thing. Luke says it slightly differently because it's a different location. Give us day by day our daily bread. Turn your Bibles to Psalm 1, verse 2, would you please? Psalm 1 and verse 2. My friend, there is a process. I would say, I almost thought I was just going to talk about one thing this morning. The new gets old. But then I thought, what about the solution? Because Paul gives us a solution, which is what? Yes, everything, including the body, including everything connected to the outside of a man, there is a process of decay. It disintegrates. But on the inside, if we tap into the grace and mercy of God, and we do so through prayer, and obviously the Bible, Psalm 1, verse 2. Tim Kowak remembers this. This happened well over 20 years ago. We were in Sunday school, and I wanted us to read Psalm 1, verse 2. And I had a classic case of a person. I can name his name. Tim, you know his name. He quoted the verse, and I looked at him that day, and I said, but quoting the verse is not obeying the verse. You got there? Psalm 1, verse 2. But his what? Is in the what? And in his law doth he what? Day and night. By the way, he quoted the verse, but he didn't obey the verse. The verse is not to be quoted. The verse is to be your life. Your life ought to be this. Daily, his mercies are new every morning. Mercy and grace, prayer, the Word of God. But this is not a verse to quote, it's a verse to obey. Because the process of being renewed, you don't renew yourself, God renews you. He does so in response to prayer, in response to pouring out His grace and mercy in your life, in response to delighting. But His delight, what do you delight in? I'll wait till all the sleepers are awake. What do you delight in? Don't lie to me. By the way, I almost feel like a doctor sometimes. You're coming into the emergency room, and the doctors assume you are a liar. Are you aware of that? They're going to ask you this question, how much do you drink? And you're going to say, none. 5 minutes later, they're going to say, how many beers a day do you drink? And, you know, if you're smart enough, you think, didn't I just...
Then they're going, how many glasses of wine do you have? Then they say, do you ever, you know, how much? They ask the same question 24 times because they assume everybody is a liar. I ask you a question. What do you delight in? I'm going to say this to you. Your life is going to be boring like most people's lives are boring because you're always looking out there because I just got to get to the next place, the next location, the next job, the next person. When Paul is saying all of that's going to get old no matter what you do. I remember a friend of mine said about Elizabeth Taylor, and I'm dating myself. Elizabeth Taylor was married 9 times. And a friend of mine said if she lived to be 200, she would have been married 18 times. Because she never learned a thing. She's still looking for? No, the new to make you happy. Or you can have God change you. Look at the verse. But his or her delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he or she meditate, how often? Day and night. By the way, quoting this verse to me is not the verse. Now the question is, how has God been sustaining you through the years? I look back at my early life. When I was, Kim, 18, I didn't have a perfect sister. And you had 2 perfect sisters. The problem in your family is, you got 2 problems. You got a brother and your dad. Other than that, things are good. Now, listen, I'm being funny, but I'm not. When I was your age, the passages that gave me strength, Romans 8:37, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things that I'm supposed to do through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Remember those? Can I tell you this? Everybody take a breath. I don't quote those much at age 65. That's what I needed at 18. If you're still living on your 18 Christianity, you're bored, boring, and about to self-destruct. At another time in my life, it was Psalm 103, verse 19, when a guy looked across the desk from me and said, you'll never pastor a church. And the passage is, the Lord hath prepared his kingdom in the heavens, and his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. And I looked at him as I look at you. If there is a God, that God makes that choice, not you, moron. By the way, do you know that God? That's what I needed at a certain stage. At another stage of my life, it was 1 Samuel 24, the very last verse. 1 Samuel 26, the very last verse, when I was struggling with reconciliation and forgiveness. And do you know what I'm doing? I'm talking about renewal. And some of you don't have any testimony in your life. You're still quoting verses you quoted when you were 12. Life moves on. What gives us new life? We're constantly being renewed. We don't renew ourselves. We come to the mercy and grace of God. That renews us. We pray. God then renews us. We meditate and love the Scripture. And that renews us. At another time in my life, when I was wrestling with justice, it was 1 Samuel 26, verse 10, where David says, as the Lord liveth, the Lord shall smite Saul, or his day shall come to die naturally, or he shall descend into battle and perish. And that's what happened to him. He died in battle. David was simply saying, God, if there's justice, that's your job. Here it is. At another time, oh, wait a minute, I've failed too. Proverbs 25:17, withdraw thy foot from thy neighbor's house, lest he be weary of thee and so hate thee. I have ruined several relationships by trying to be too close to people. Some of you don't have any relationships, so this doesn't apply to you. By the way, there's a time to be close and there's a time to be distance. Coming in, drawing back, it's very important. I've had the problem of I get too close to people. I've done that. I've sinned. I'm going to stop here. I want everyone to look at me. We could spend 2 more hours me quoting verses. How about your life? Here's your problem. Do you ever listen to people that are always bored and always moving to something to be happy? There's nothing being renewed. Here, look. On the inside. They're depending on the outside. It's the inside that gets renewed. I think
Do you have a hymn book? Pick up your hymn book. Page 448.
Now, if you have any history in Lake County Baptist, there's only one person that you're going to remember about this song. Can somebody raise their hand? Mike? Well, but this is a guy. Jenny? Tim McGrail. Well, there's somebody else that always sang this song. A guy named Dietmar. By the way, Dietmar's wife, somebody I loved and I have known since, look at me, I think Dietmar came the week after I came to Lake County Baptist in 1977. I've known them for a couple of weeks. Has he ever met a better guy than Dietmar? I haven't. Now he's struggling because his wife is at the very end of life. Look at me. What are you going to look for? Some more shiny new toys? Get a bigger house? A new car? Oh, shut up. When are you going to live like a Christian? Christians, by the way, I'm all for, you get a new car, I'll be the first person to be happy for you. I'm not happy for Sparky because she hadn't shown me her car. But her friend took a picture and showed me her car. I'm happy. But that's not going to do anything for you because sooner or later the new car is an old car. No, it's the inside. You see, the new becomes old unless the new is renewed so it stays new. But that happens from the inside out. Here's the song. We sing it, Pastor Kowak. After the Lord's Supper, this is what we'll sing, all three stanzas. Day by day, and with each passing moment, strength, I don't create it, I find it, to meet my trials here, trusting in my Father's wise bestowment. I've no cause for worry or for fear. He whose heart is kind beyond all measure, gives unto each day what he deems best. Lovingly, it's part of pain and pleasure, mingling toil with peace and rest. Every day, the Lord himself is near me with a special mercy for each hour. And my cares he fain would bear and cheer me. He whose name is Counselor and Power. The protection of his child and treasure is a charge that on himself he laid. As thy days, thy strength shall be in measure. This the pledge to me he made. Look back at 1 Corinthians 4:16, and I'm going to conclude. Has this been deep? Look, is this deep? I ask you a question, is this deep? Here it is. The new becomes. The new must be renewed to stay new. Is that true? And by the way, what needs to be renewed? The car? The house? The job? By the way, all that's fine. If that's the Lord's purpose for you, do all of that. All of that's good. But that won't stay new for long. The newness comes from within. It comes from a relationship with the living God. His mercies being new every moment. Finding grace and mercy to help in time of need. It's daily. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. And friends, through an entire life, you just accumulate these texts and these passages that have strengthened you for that period of time. You say, what's God teaching you now? Jonah? Why Jonah? That's what I'm studying right now. Well, let's read the verse and we're finished. For which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish or is in the process of perishing, it's just what happens, the new becomes old, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. The new must become renewed in order to stay new. Thirdly, being renewed keeps things new. Oh, it keeps things new. And if I can say this, it keeps us from chasing new stuff. Where we're not like a little child that cannot enjoy the toy because they keep chasing the bubbles. We all of a sudden become a person that we're renewed from the inside. Things are now made new and we don't have to keep chasing new stuff.
Everyone look at me and I'm done.
Happy New Year.
Let's pray. Father, I know of no passage more important for us today. For the last month, I've been thinking about the text. It seems so simple. The new becomes old. The new must be renewed to stay new. And being renewed, it helps us to love and enjoy what we have and where we're at and what we're doing. And it keeps us from being a little child still chasing happiness when we're 110. Father, make all things new on this new year, we ask in Christ's name.